Hello and welcome to Collision Cast, the official podcast of Fender Bender, helping collision repair shop owners and operators make money, save money, and work smarter. I'm Editor-in-Chief Jay Sicht, and in this episode, I'm talking with Sam Paradish of Aztec, one of the sponsors of our inaugural Best Repair Planner and Estimator of the Year Award. Today, we do see more shop owner operators embracing repair planning and going away from just plain estimating where they write only what they can see before they disassemble the vehicle. But the way that shops approach that repair planning is still not optimal for where the collision repair is going with vehicle technology and the complexity of the repair and the cost of the repairs. Shops' expectations of the technology right now for repair planning is still focused on only identification, which is the pre-scan, and really needs to move toward data-driven repair recommendations. Joining me today, I have Sam Parada. She's the Director of Automotive Intelligence for Aztec. Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jay. Good to be here.
Sam, could you start us off by talking about how this data-driven repair recommendations can help a shop owner or operator or repair planner write a more effective repair plan?
Yeah, so I think it's as you said, right? The estimating process is evolving like it always has with the advent of new vehicle technologies. And what we're seeing is what historically have been vehicles that could be diagnosed and estimated and planned for perfectly fine just through the process of observing the vehicle, or are now entering a phase where the vehicle technology, because the features are kind of hidden from view, living in tiny sensors that are, you know, intentionally hidden on the car, or firmware and software within the computer systems that you're not going to be able to see is functioning improperly or damaged until you interface with the electronic systems. All that stuff is now part of the equation and not something that can be seen, right? So what we see now very much just with the current technology of vehicles and their electronic systems is that's already kind of a blind spot for people. But as the years go by and things get even more sophisticated, we just see it becoming really almost the forefront of what needs to be done in estimates outside of just panel repairs and traditional collision repair operations.
And then what kind of problems is Aztec looking to solve with this technology?
So I think we really want to be a leader in solving all of the types of diagnostic and repair planning problems that are presenting themselves in the collision industry. But the ones that we're very focused on at this point are really helping shops understand what needs to be repaired, what all is involved in the fulfillment of that repair, and how much is it going to cost as early in the process as possible, which, you know, has always been the goal of estimating. But we've seen many, many times with our customers instances where expensive repairs get missed during the initial planning process, and either you know, worst case scenario, it's not encountered at all until the vehicle gets back into the hands of the owner, or it gets discovered much later in the process, and we have this, you know, expensive supplement that needs to be added to the estimate, which shops don't like, insurers don't like. It extends the cycle time and just kind of creates a bad experience for everyone. So, like, just overall, I think that's kind of the nature of what we're trying to solve for. But specifically, that's frequently taking the form of identifying calibration requirements. Those are a really commonly missed one, just because of the fact that there's really very little you can do to just look at a vehicle and determine if it requires a calibration. Even if you know the sensors that are installed can see the radars and the cameras and other things, there's nothing that tells you immediately whether it's a self-calibrating system or something that's going to require targets. And then all of the follow-up questions that come in, if you're replacing a component, does it need to be programmed? Do you need to have a targeting system on hand? Are you going to need to outsource it to a mobile technician? All shops kind of have different setups to allow them to do some of these things in-house, but inevitably there's ones that either need to be having remote technician involvement or some kind of other outsourcing. So beyond just kind of the proper identification of repairs, we also want to make sure that shops understand all of the steps involved in fulfillment so that they can plan accurately for how expensive the repair is going to be ultimately, who's going to do it, and how long is it going to take.
Sam, I wonder if you might walk us through quickly what a typical repair plan process might include using this technology?
Yeah, so really the way our current offerings function and what our vision for kind of how it continues to evolve is it's almost like a assisted estimating process, right? So there's certainly still things that estimators are kind of uniquely equipped to be able to do in terms of identifying panel damage. And you know, each collision is really unique. It's so much different than like mechanical repair where componentry is failing and kind of predictable and common ways that are just a function of the way that the componentry is designed and wears over time. Like every collision has unique aspects to it, right? And really having the human involvement there to figure out what all is physically damaged as a result of that isn't going anywhere anytime soon. But what a lot of this new technology kind of introduces to the process is this sort of like, if this happens, then this happens type logic as a result of the electronic systems involved. So estimators are always going to be best at looking at a front bumper and figuring out, okay, is it going to be something that we remove from the vehicle and then repaint and then put back on and blend? Or is it going to be something that needs to be replaced? Are we going to have to, bondo something to build up an area of it in order to get everything back to pre-accident condition. So I think a lot of that stuff stays similar to how it is today. There's some innovation happening there with photo estimatics and other things. But what we are trying to do with our products is from the information that's the most difficult to capture, which is what estimators are best at today, can we derive kind of the additional things that need to happen as a result of that? So classic example would be if you determine that you need to remove a front bumper or a windshield as an example, that frequently on vehicles with ADAS sensors embedded in those larger components. If you're removing one of them, it induces the need for a calibration, which is something you can really only determine if you have the OEM repair procedures front and center. So there's a lot of elements of that where we're just kind of trying to extend the observation that the estimator is making visually of the car to incorporate all of the downstream additional steps that result of that per manufacturer repair procedures. But then I think kind of the other angle on it is leveraging the information that we get back from the scan tool, which kind of tells us the vehicle's understanding of its own electronic health, right? So it's running all sorts of tests constantly to look at circuit continuity and tolerance boundaries of specific signals defined as within an acceptable range or not. And so that scan data can also give us a lot of clues as to what the vehicle can tell is damaged about itself that might be hidden deep below a bunch of body panels and other things like things like wiring damage within a harness, often really difficult to detect, even when you're doing a tear down and removing body panels, because, you know, it doesn't take much to just kind of pinch a harness and sever a wire, even if the harness itself is not visibly damaged externally. But the vehicle module that's communicating with that sensor via that wire will know instantly if something's wrong. So that kind of also paints a complicated picture of symptoms in essence. That's really what we kind of use as the analog for a diagnostic trouble code in a vehicle. And what we're trying to do is, in conjunction with what I was describing before, derivatives of kind of the observable repairs that need to be done to a vehicle, mixing in all of those kind of electronic observations about irregularities can help us kind of paint the full picture of how it's all related.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, what you were talking about with the pinched wire in the harness, for example, why would a fault like that not show up on a pre-scan?
In most circumstances, it would. I think what we've seen a lot with regard to diagnostics is obviously the OEM tools, the gold standard, the tools created by the manufacturer and used in all of their repair facilities to diagnose vehicles. And just, you know, it's part of their process to ensure that those tools can accurately report on symptoms. And a lot of aftermarket tools do a great job of reporting all of that as well. However, there is still a lag in aftermarket tool development or really niche things that don't present themselves often. So aftermarket tools don't focus on the accurate detection of them. And that's where we get a lot of crossover with collision, right? Vehicles that have been in collision present a lot of electronic health systems that are a lot of electronic health symptoms that are kind of unusual because they're not things that occur naturally in the normal function of a vehicle, which is really what DTCs are kind of designed to indicate. So when you have those kind of edge case things in modules that aren't normally experiencing issues is just part of like normal wear and tear. Sometimes you get into these pockets of diagnostic information that aftermarket scan tools aren't capable of reading and reporting back to the technician who's performing the diagnostic. So in those circumstances, it's possible to miss important diagnostic information that can give you clues as to how to form that accurate repair plan. And unfortunately, the nature of it from what we've seen through our extensive testing is if a tool is missing an important piece of information, it doesn't have any idea that it's missing it. It's not going to come back and tell you, hey, I've missed something. It's just going to show that everything's normal. And so that's where on Aztec's end, we've invested a lot of time and development into what we call OEM compatible scanning, which is a product that we've created that's performing an aftermarket scan. But in every instance where we're applying the OEM compatible label to a diagnostic, we've been through an extensive field testing procedure where we've taken that aftermarket tool side by side with an OEM tool and compared the results on vehicles that have been in collisions. So ones that are exhibiting the types of circumstances that vehicles in our customer shops are going to be exhibiting. And we run dozens and dozens and dozens of tests on each year, make, model, trim that that we see significant volume from and determine, are we going to get the same result back as the OEM tool or not? So it's really important to us, both just in providing an accurate diagnostic to make sure that the information that we're giving back to the customer is equivalent to what they would get out of an OEM tool, but obviously kind of tying it into the repair planning thing, as we just talked about, so many of these data-driven insights that we're capable of deriving through the technology that we're applying to the circumstance are dependent on accurate input data. So if you can't tell a technological system that's trying to help you plan or repair everything that is going on with an electronic system, obviously it's going to be kind of restricted from giving you the best possible answer. So it's both important to us in terms of giving our customers just that raw diagnostic information to be able to utilize, but also the success of leveraging the technology is contingent on the accuracy of that information as well.
For sure. And then the more accurate the information you have, the safer and more efficient the repairs are going to be. Could you talk about how this removes subjectivity from the process and how that also can reduce friction between the major stakeholders, such as customers and shops and insurers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest pain points in our industry, at least that we see from interacting with shops, is kind of that the friction that comes around what needs to be done to this vehicle to repair it properly. And, you know, really, I think everybody wants the same thing, right? The OEM wants the vehicle repaired back to OEM standards. The shop wants a safe vehicle repaired so that they have no liability and a happy customer. The insurance company wants it for the same reason, right? And obviously the vehicle owner wants to get back a car that's been safely repaired in the most cost-effective and timely manner possible. So the good news is everyone kind of has the same objective in repairing a vehicle, but what we see is a lot of the friction that comes from the interaction of all of those entities really stems from the fact that identifying the need for repairs has become so complex. So because we've got a lack of fully standardized objective mechanisms for determining what needs to be done, you get these situations where there's kind of perceived disagreement about what has to happen and how long it should take and how much it should cost and those sorts of things. And that's where we really think technology can help a lot, because through that technology, we're capable of consistently navigating the complexity, which, you know, it's getting to the point where it would be really difficult to educate everyone consistently to interpret the information the same way, just because there's so much of it and the conclusions are so nuanced. And that's where we're starting to introduce things like large language models and other AI technologies that are really good at processing massive amounts of kind of difficult to interpret data and coming up with something that's intelligible. And so what we think is kind of the solution to this friction is getting better and better and better at deriving those insights from what we can tell about the vehicle early on, leveraging the technology to interpret it, and then, you know, getting everybody involved in the process kind of invested in and looking at the same data and how it relates to the answers provided, so that there's not four different processes going on to answer the question that are difficult to reconcile. A little bit. I think we started to get into it a bit with that last question, kind of talking about how we're leveraging AI technologies and other things to navigate the complexity of the repairs, but I can expand on that a little bit.
But let's just say that 100% of the repair planners out there today started doing that. Like, what would be the next step after that?
I don't know that I don't see it as being one of those things where there's like a major moment where all of a sudden like things are fundamentally different. Like most of these technologies and endeavors, it's really it just continues to evolve and get better and better over time. Like especially as we're talking about data derivative things, right? It's really a function of who all is kind of engaging with the data and interpreting it and providing feedback, and it just gets increasingly sophisticated over time. So I do think there's going to be additional technologies on the horizon that relate to capturing more information about the vehicle so that we're capable of interpreting a broader and broader picture about the state of the vehicle. But I do really think it kind of all boils down to how much can we automate that repair planning process. There are some things that I think will start to happen that aren't really today with regard to better like integration within work management systems and parts identification and ordering and scheduling of outsourced repairs and that sort of stuff. Like I really think after the identification bit is largely solved, that's probably the new frontier is, okay, we know what needs to be done. Now, how can we leverage what we know about what needs to be done to, have the magic green button where you push it and it knows what you have on hand and can do in-house and who's staffed when and says, okay, I'm going to book this calibration in-house to happen with this guy and this piece of equipment here, but also we're going to shop out the other one that we don't have the equipment for to, a marketplace of mobile technicians or something that can pick up the job and come do it. So I definitely see some opportunity on that front.
Excellent. Well, Sam, you've given us a lot to think about today. I want to thank you for joining the Collision Cast.
You bet. Great to be here as always.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to look for more information on the Best Repair Planner and Estimator Award winner in the September issue of Fender Bender. Be sure to subscribe to Collision Cast to make sure you don't miss out on any episodes, and follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn.